Well, good morning, everyone. This is Jonathan with Daily Inspirations. And today, we're going to be looking at Ephesians again. And we looked Monday and Tuesday at Ephesians 1 and 2. And then yesterday, I was not able to record the devotional. So today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3 and go down through that chapter. So Ephesians chapter 2 that we looked at last, the last several verses there in the chapter, he's finishing up talking about how the Gentiles are reconciled to the Jews, and the Gentiles are reconciled to each other and reconciled to God. And then down the last two verses, more or less, he's using the word picture of the church being like a building with Jesus as the cornerstone, and how every part, everyone has a part and part of that building. So now in chapter 3, Paul goes on, he says, because of this, because of the Gentiles being reconciled and because of the church being built. So I'm going to go ahead and read the chapter and then come back and make some comments. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, "For this cause I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you nations," or some Bibles would say, "for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me toward you, that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy prophets and apostles by the Spirit, that the nations should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partaker of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God, gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effectual working of his power. This grace is given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations, and to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, so that now to the rulers and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. For this reason I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages forever. Amen." Okay, so in this chapter, Paul starts out, because of his work in building the church, preaching to the Gentiles, he's a prisoner, he says. He says, "a prisoner for you nations," or for you Gentiles. And Well, later on, then he tells them not to feel bad, not to worry. It's for God's work. So, verse 1, he's talking about being a prisoner. He says, if you have heard, in verse 2, of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me toward you. And so he's confirming that God has called him to reach out and to preach to the Gentiles. And then he goes on, and he's kind of a good bit of this chapter. He's recapping a little bit of what he started out to say in chapters 1 and 2, and he's showing here the sufficiency of Christ in the life of the believer. Christ is sufficient. He is all we need. We no longer, we don't need anything else. We don't need, God did not give us part of what we need to live the Christian life. He gave us everything. And that's through the power that we receive from faith in Jesus. So here in verse 3, he's talking about, he's still talking about his work as a minister, says the revelation is made known to him in the ministry. Verse 4 then is a section in parentheses, talking about how he had written previously. Then in verse 5, he says, in other ages, this mystery was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed. And so in the Old Testament times, there was prophecies pointing ahead to the time when the Redeemer would come, but it was not clear. It was still kind of a mystery to them. But Paul is saying now Jesus has come, and the mystery is revealed through his holy prophets and apostles by the Spirit of God, that the nations should be fellow heirs, not just the Jews anymore, of the same body, fellow heirs and partaker of the promise. And so then in verse 7, he's saying that is what he was made a minister of by the grace of God and effectual working of his power. And so, again, he's recapping that God has called him to preach that gospel of Jesus and hope to the Gentiles. Verse 8, he says his grace is given to him who he considers himself less than the least of all saints to preach the gospel. So that grace, that power, that enabling power of God was given to him to preach the gospel of the riches of Christ and to bring that light and mystery to the nations. Verse 9, he says he's going to bring that light which was hidden, but it's made known. I'm sorry, let me read verse 9. And to bring to light what is the mystery, fellowship of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, so that now to the rulers and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And that those two verses there, 9 and 10, are exciting. What was once a mystery has been revealed. And it says it might be known to the rulers and powers in the heavenly. I don't know if he's speaking about the rulers and powers in the heavenlies would sound to me like powers of good and evil, angels and demons and those things, those spiritual powers that maybe we can't see but are out there. It says that they might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And so as they observe God's church here on earth, they will know the power and the wisdom of God. And the Apostle Paul, he's really good at, he ties so many things together. He talks about this, and then he talks about that relates to it, and then something else relates to it, and that's kind of what he's doing in this chapter. In verse 11, he says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. And so he keeps tying all these things together. They all apply in some ways, sometimes it seems like he veers a little from the subject, and yet the Apostle Paul was often did that. He would tie so many other side issues together with it. It's kind of all part of it. And so because of the church, because of what Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, and because that we are all able to come before God in holiness now in New Testament times, so then he says in here in verse 11, according to this eternal purpose, it was purposed by God to forever be this way. Because of man's sin, it was not this way for many years in the Old Testament. But now, through the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, says in verse 11. In verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. So we, in the Old Testament, with all the sacrifices and those things, they could not come straight into the presence of God like we can today. So we can come with boldness, and we have that access. And so then in verse 13, he says he desires that they don't, that they faint not at his tribulations, he says, that they don't worry and be troubled with his troubles. He says, which is your glory. It was for their sakes that he was imprisoned, for the sake of the gospel. So then he says, because of this, I bow my knees in verse 14, and to God, the Father of Jesus Christ, verse 15, 16, the whole family of heaven and earth is named after that he would grant them. And so it's kind of like a prayer for them. He's wishing that God would grant on them the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Because of Jesus, because of him being sufficient in all things and able to provide everything they needed, he says they would be able to comprehend the length and the breadth and the height and the depth. I don't know exactly what he means there, but it gives me the impression that there is nothing that will be outside of what God can do and provide when we serve him. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In this chapter, he's making it clear that through Jesus, we can have all the fullness and riches that God can provide to us. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing. And then he ends the last couple verses with kind of another benediction on those people. It says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus throughout all ages forever. Amen. So God bless you today as you consider that Jesus can provide everything that the believer needs in our world today. What a tremendous blessing.